Hello, welcome to You Haven't Blanked That. I'm Forrest.
And this is Jimmy.
How's it going?
Pretty good. So this week you watched a little movie called In the Mouth of Madness. When horror novelist Sutter Kane's...
Who?
Sutter Kane's...
goes one more time?
Sutter Kane.
There we go.
goes missing. Insurance investigator John Trent, Sam Neill, scrutinizes the claim made by the publisher Jackson Harglow, Booker, get away, and endeavors to retrieve the yet-to-be-released manuscript and ascertain the writer's whereabouts. accompanied by the novelist editor, Linda, and disturbed by nightmares from reading Kane's other novels, Trent makes an eerie nightmare trek to supernatural town of in New Hampshire.
Not Castle Rock.
What do you think of this movie?
A few things. I didn't realize it was made this close to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's like a year
it's like
away.
It's like, because Jurassic Park's 93, right?
94.
This movie's 94, so this movie came out like around
this movie came out before
Jurassic Park. I didn't realize it was that close.
But he was filming Jurassic Park during the movie.
Yeah, because he was...
Or towards the end of the movie. Stop.
Oh, so he was filming Jurassic Park like after this or around the same time.
Around the same time.
It's so weird.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, heavy metal intro.
Yeah.
I dig that.
So, do you know...
Because I know he does all of his music.
So, do you know what... Because they wanted a song specifically for
What song do they want?
Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Oh, that would have fucking killed... I'm happy it's not that. That would have killed this fucking movie.
And then Metallica was like, nothing.
Good. They made one good choice in their life.
When you listen to it, it kind of sounds very Metallica-y.
I'm happy they didn't get fucking Enter Sandman. I'm moving fucking eyes. But also, Metallica's fucking stupid.
Because this... Yeah. John Carpenter movie? Like, why not?
Yeah, who the fuck doesn't want their music on a John Carpenter movie?
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy it's not, because it would have killed this fucking movie for me.
Yeah, it would have been, like, I don't know. I don't think that song would have been good for this movie.
Yeah, I don't know why they...
Yeah. But, yeah, so heavy metal intro. And then...
Chuck Heston, can't go wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was on a roll at that time. He was just like, I'm going to be guys in offices, because isn't he... He's in this one, and he's also in True Lies.
Yeah.
And he was doing... He's in Wayne's World. He popped up in Wayne's World 2 for a moment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was.
He actually hosted Saturday Night Live around that time, too. That's a good episode. There's some funny shit on that episode.
I don't even remember it.
I do. Paul Westerberg was the host, or the musical guest that week.
Okay. You're on it.
Oh, because...
Oh, the book?
Because that book, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, a year or so before... So it was, like, right after The Replacements broke up.
Okay.
So he goes on it, and Josh Freese is his drummer, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I think Josh Freese is his drummer. I'm like 80% sure Josh Freese is his drummer on that set also, because he's been his drummer for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go on, but the time before, they all got drunk and traded clothes. So they play, they're hammered.
Okay.
Because it's The Replacements.
Yeah.
One of them's wearing a dress during the first set, and then they all decide that they're going to trade clothes, they all trade clothes, and they're all wearing something, they're all wearing each other's clothes on the second half, and Paul Westerberg swears in the middle of it.
Oh, really?
And they had edited, I don't know if they caught it, I don't think they caught it the first time around.
So it was, like, live?
Yeah, so it was live, and they got in big trouble. They always talk about the one, the guy who made the Fault in Our Stars movie.
Yes.
Wants to make, was the same guy who did, the Stan TV show. Did you know that?
Oh.
Same guy.
Yeah, okay.
He wants to make a Replacements movie. And you do it, oh my God, just them, just, because when you listen to, when you read that book about the Replacements, they just didn't give a fuck, dude. They were just like, they destroyed their own band. Like, they literally were just like, they didn't care about being famous.
Uh-huh.
They just wanted to play music, and they fucked around the whole time. They pissed off Tom Petty. Tom Petty lets them go on tour with them, and they pissed Tom Petty the fuck off.
Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Madness. So I know what this movie is, and I'm not, and this is in no way denigrating this movie. I dug it. It was fun because it's a noir movie, but it's also Stephen King.
Yeah.
And it's also this. So this is like Double Indemnity, but with a Lovecraft twist that explains Stephen King's cocaine phase.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. But it's Lovecraftian without the racist aspect of it.
Because we all know Lovecraft's cat's name.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. And, but it's also like,
look it up,
you know,
pause it and look it up, and it's not cool.
But, it's also like weird. Cause like the name of the writer, the horror writer,
Sutter Kane.
I mean, it's, which also kind of invokes Stephen King. Well, right.
You know that they're friends, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, cool. But then they referenced Stephen King in the movie too.
Well, that was his because they're friends. Yeah. So this is like him just fucking with Stephen King.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
Dude, this whole movie is literally him fucking with Stephen King.
Yeah.
And then to the fact that he says that everybody who reads a Stephen King book is insane and wants to keep reading his books, and they're insane and it makes them mad.
Yeah. But, like, this one, like, it's just the layer of just, like, some of the shots are amazing. Like, they're really good. Like, when that guy creeps up to the fucking,
oh, that's great. When the guy comes up with the axe.
Dude, because he walks up out of nowhere, and he's just kind of like, you see him stumbling on like a zombie, and you're like, okay, cool. And then he's out of focus, and then he just comes in, and then, like, when he's, like, slashes down, like, I like the cutaways of, like, you know, this shit falling on the ground or whatever, and then you're just like, oh, what the fuck's going on? And then, like, asking if he's read, Sutter Kane, you're like, oh, what the fuck? And then, like, but his introduction to everything, it's just such a great, like, noir, like,
I gotta rewatch it. Like, I rewatched, The King of Comedy. Okay. To figure out what's real and what's not.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's such a great movie.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I wanna figure out what's real, what's not, why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like doing it in the Joker movie, and it's seamless in both.
Yeah. So this one, like, it's all of it kind of just invokes the Dark Tower to me. Everything involved.
Why? Because everything goes back to Castle. Let's hear.
So it's just basically like, you have these like, zombie like beings, especially like in like, I don't, oh, you know, I won't ruin anything, but in the Dark Tower,
there's zombies.
There's like the undead, and they like populate the world. And
the undead. Just,
yeah.
Or
they're just they're not zombies.
They talk?
No.
Cause sometimes zombies talk.
But like they just kinda like shuffle around the world and they're like dying and grotesque. And then like you
zombies shuffle around the world. it's not Batman over.
But, like, it's one of those where it's, like, even, like, the flashes where he looks over and, like, you see, like, the dead cop or whatever. And you see these night, like destroyed, like, Hellraiser-like world. Like, it's just trippy. Speaking of Hellraiser, this just made me just all kind of, like, put it all together. Like, Sam Neill just loves, like, this, like...
Right. Sam Neill's in Hellraiser. Which one is he in?
He was in Event Horizon. Which is basically Hellraiser in space.
Oh, I guess it is.
Right? Oh, fuck. Right?
I forgot how close that was made to Jurassic Park. Also, that was made after Jurassic Park, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was 95, 96.
Yeah, that was made after Jurassic Park. He was fucking horror guy for a long while.
Yeah, he was. But he fucking hated that movie.
He's in the second or third Omen.
So, going to Event Horizon, that movie was pushed up so quickly in production. Because, like, they were, like, the guy that was going to do the movie, he was going to have, he was going to direct, I forgot what movie, he was going to direct somebody, they weren't in shape, so he had to wait a year for his actor to get in shape to film a movie. And in the meantime, he had this year to just kind of do nothing. And they said, hey, we're doing Event Horizon, you want to do it? And he goes, perfect. He goes, perfect. He figured he would be in normal stance or whatever. But Titanic got pushed back a while and couldn't be released when it needed to, so they needed a film right then and there. And they're like, okay, cool, you have like this much time to get the movie going. And they worked on it to the last fucking minute before it was released, before they could even send it out, because they just couldn't do it. And that's why Sam Neill fucking hates this movie, because nothing was like originally done. There was the second unit director couldn't do shit because all the actors would get tired after being there all day long, that they would leave, so they would like have no shots or no taping for afterwards. So like the whole production was just a giant shit show to just get made, but it got made. But Sam Neill was like a huge time like horror fanatic though, or horror king.
He was he's in a lot more horror. I mean, because he's in one of the Omens. He ends up playing the Omen kid as a grown up.
Yeah.
This was good. I
like
this.
But, I felt like this is kind of, like, the introduction. I feel like if you put, like, Hellraiser, Event Horizon, and this, like, in my little mini-verse, I believe this is the opening to the Hellraiser coming into the world.
Well, you know that there's three movies in the Apocalypse trilogy for John Carpenter. And you've seen at least two that I know of.
Which ones?
So,
in the first one. Is that the first one?
No.
What's the first one?
The Thing.
Thing? Yeah.
Prince of Darkness.
Never seen it.
I've not seen it. I think it's like Satan coming back to Earth type of movie.
Okay, okay.
And then this. I thought this was going to be.
Oh, okay. Huh. The Thing's such a fucking amazing movie. I love that thing so much.
Yeah. Oh, we went to I think I told you, we went to the festival, it was like a sideshow and freaks festival, and they had a bunch of like taxidermied shit.
Oh, that's cool.
So Emily, while we're there, got a Thing keychain.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
What was it?
It's just the picture of the guy with the no face.
Oh, okay. And
it's like a plastic one.
The parka,
no face, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway, but yeah, that's actually the first one, Prince of Darkness the second, and this is the last of the Apocalypse trilogy. Okay.
This is like the final one too, because he's like the last man on Earth type of a thing.
Yeah.
But like, what did you think of like, the part that like, I remember freaking me the fuck out, was the drive to the town.
Oh, where all this shit keeps
where she's driving, or Linda's driving
the car. And she hits the guy with the bike.
Before that, because like, she's driving on the road, because like, I used to drive everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Yeah. And late night drives are my favorite drives, but they also freak me out. But like when she's driving, and then the lanes, the dashes on the road just disappears, and then it's just pure blackness. You're like, what? Dude, that's so terrifying.
When I was driving, it wasn't even like creepy scary. It was like, oh, fuck, scary. I was driving through Missouri in the rain, and there's a bunch of fields all around, and lightning is hitting like all these fields all around me, and I can feel it hitting the ground. I can feel it as I'm driving.
Jeez.
It was insane. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like awesome and scary at the same fucking time.
Oh, I bet. And then like, the fucking kid comes by, and you see him on the bike, the little boy, and then
the newspaper kid?
Yeah.
Did you know who the newspaper boy is?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Anakin.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And then, but you see him like ride his bike, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, you know, whatever, that's weird. And then like, then you see the old man later on, and then like when they hit him, just fuck, dude, you're like, what the fuck? And then there's that phantom hit, and then like then they actually hit him. And he's like, he won't let me stop riding. You're like, what the fuck is this? And it was that little boy's voice and that old man's makeup, even though it was cheesy and kind of shitty, dude, even now it still gives me the creeps. Ah, it's so creepy.
So good.
And then like, but like, the makeup on it, it's kind of like whatever. Yeah, I mean,
it's faded, but it's also so good. One of the people in town is Viggo the Carpathian.
Oh, yeah, he is! Yeah, yeah, the guy that he throws the fucking beer bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, is that Viggo the Carpathian?
And then, like, dude, and he... Yeah, dude. And then, like, but that whole thing is just so creepy. And, like, but it, all of it just is... All of it just kind of just evokes Stephen King. All of it does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's just, like... Talking about the town and how detailed it is. And, like, even when Sam Neill goes, like, look, out the window, no tower. And then she's like, no, because it's the east. And you see it going back and forth. And then, like...
I kind of want to go back now, because once you figure out, oh, it's all Stephen King stuff, I kind of want to go back and see what are the references.
Pick out what you can find.
Because I'm sure there's a shit ton of... I mean, clearly that town is supposed to be Castle Rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I wonder... I want to look, go back and look... because you know he made Christine, right? You know he made the movie Christine. John Carpenter did.
Yeah.
I think after The Thing, I think it's Christine.
Which is a great movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of Stephen King movies, Carrie, the newer one, did you see it?
Which one?
The one where it's like...
Oh, the one that came out like was it like 7 years ago or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see the new Carrie.
I'm very iffy on whether I want to watch it or not, but the first one's great because it's like the color of tampon, and then like you see boobs. You don't get enough boobs in movies nowadays.
We've had this conversation before,
but it's still really close to my heart.
I need to emphasize the point.
But yeah, no, like this one is just like the whole thing is just trippy. The one part that I just laughed out loud this go around was when he goes, "Johnny boy."
Yeah.
But then, like, it's all of it's just it's when he's in the insane asylum. Sam Neill's in the insane asylum because that's how it starts off, and he's like, you know, he's like kicking and screaming, and then like I love that line. He's like, "Oh, I kicked him in the balls. I'm sorry. It was just a lucky shot." But then, like, he asked for a black crayon. But, man, that crayon fucking lasted the time. Because it was still, like, he fucking marked up that whole fucking thing and his face. But the crayon was still fucking, like, a good-sized crayon. But, like...
He has rights, Jimmy.
Yeah, he does have rights. But, like, I still think you could do damage if you give somebody a crayon, though. You know what I mean? You could shove it in your ear and just, like...
Get but he wasn't trying to kill himself.
Well, he's trying to. Well, they don't know that he's trying to or not. And then, like, but it has, like, a very Mandela effect, too. Because, like, when he gets, like...
You gotta...
Because he comes from a world where Linda existed. Mm-hmm. And he goes back to a world where she never existed. And he believes that she did exist. And everyone's like, no,
she never existed. And everybody's gaslighting him to believe that she doesn't exist.
Yeah. But, no, dude, like... All of it was great. I remember being fucking terrified with it. Terrified
with it. When did you see it the first time?
Dude, I had to be like...
Brothers? Or your sister?
No,
or...
I saw it... my brothers were passed away way before this.
They would be. I'm sorry, yeah.
So this was like... maybe a week after I saw Evil Dead at Adams with you guys.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we had that Evil Dead party.
Yeah, that was what, freshman year?
It was his birthday.
Year?
No, that was sophomore junior.
Yeah, maybe junior?
We used to watch Evil Dead a lot.
No, it had to be sophomore.
Him and I used to watch Evil Dead a lot, and I still used to. I mean, how much did I used to watch Evil Dead?
Yeah. But then I remember it terrified the fuck out of me. Just the concept of just like this. Like, because that's before I read any of fucking, what's his name? Cthulhu.
Oh, Lovecraft.
Lovecraft. Okay.
I never got any of those Lovecraft books.
Well, some of them were good. Some of them, like, the Book of Cthulhu, like, not that overwhelming, you know what I mean? But this one is just, it's just this unknown darkness that, like, you know, that's lurking just thinly beyond the veil. Like, it's just, and then just this ancient evil. It just creeped me out. And, like, everything about this movie is just unsettling. Like, every aspect of this whole thing.
Well, I was reading a book about how Stephen King writes. So they took Pet Sematary.
Okay.
And it's how Stephen King wrote Pet Sematary and what he does. And he's like, you know, when you're doing a horror, you gotta have, there's gotta be four things.
Okay.
There's uneasy. There's like four different
aspects.
Not aspects, but like.
Topic. Hit points?
Like, yeah, hit points, but like vibes you want to have, if you will.
Okay.
And vibes isn't the fucking word I'm looking for. Hold on. There's like, you gotta, like, you want to keep it in as uneasiness. And then it's like...
suspense.
It's like uneasiness, suspense, horror, and like terrifying and horror or something like that. And you want to be able to balance it out. Like, the reason why Stephen King usually keeps everything in uneasy mode till about halfway through. Uh-huh. But you want them as uneasy as possible for as long as possible.
Yeah. The Shining. The Shining is a perfect example of, like, and then, uneasiness. And then, like, it's uneasy throughout the whole, three quarters of that book.
Yeah, and then you get your more intense, you know, your intensity, like, your uneasy into, like, terror. It's, like, uneasy, terror. What was it?
Because even, like, Pennywise, like, or It.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, it gets to the point where, like, you're always, like, it's teetering. It's always just lurking around and just, like, and then plus, like, Pennywise comes out here and there and whatever. But that part of the book that just was like, what the fuck am I reading? Is, like, when the bully falls over the bridge onto the sand. And then, like, Pennywise comes out and he's like, oh, it's a clown. He's, get the way, because he's calling the queer guy a faggot and whatever.
Yeah.
And then Pennywise is just, like, act of revenge, which you make you feel like, yeah, I get him. But then at the same time, he just bites into his fucking armpit in the most gruesome fashion. You're like, what the fuck?
They're making that part a show. They're making a Welcome to Derry show.
Oh,
and all that stuff, that's all that lead up stuff. You know, that all that in-between stuff with it's not the kids?
Yeah.
Or them as the adults when it's at the Losers Club.
Yeah.
They're making a show about that.
Dude, that'd be rad.
But, like, I heard that there's a big thing where some people didn't want it to happen. And I don't think Stephen King wants that to happen for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, no, this movie, like, the creep factor is there. Now with a modern cinema eye, it's kind of like, it's a little, they could have done that better, blah, blah, blah. But that's just, like, you know, hindsight.
I told you, like, that's my thing. I was like, that's the last thing I trip up on is,
but, like,
is effects.
But even, like, the cutaways of these, like, monsters that, like, Sam Neill's character is getting, like, throughout, like, the oozing.
Oh, that one where he's in the alleyway, and the guy is about to get him.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up, and then the guy's next to him, and then he wakes up again.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Those, they had a couple of those, because there was that one, and there was the one where he wakes up from coming back, and then, like, Sutter's like, my favorite color is blue. And he's like, and then, like, he wakes up in the bus.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, this whole movie is just, like, even now, it's just, it's not as terrifying as I remember it to be. But it's still fucking just, it creeps me out. It creeps me out so good. Dude, yeah. And then, but, like, even the scene, too, where, like, the big ending scene where he, like, he's tearing at his face and he rips, like, the pages of, like, the book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like, I remember that being blowing my mind. I'm like, what the fuck? And this time around, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, there could have been a better way to do it. But pretty good. Yeah. And then, like, and how she's reading the manuscript. And then, like, saying, like, you know, he's describing his point of view, which is a great way to do it, because the thing is, like, how else are you going to show that terror or that whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but, like, even Sam Neill's face, he's just fucking, like, he's just, like, on edge. Like,
he's acting the shit out of
this. Dude, he's doing a phenomenal job on this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, he's, you know, he worked with, the other movie he was in, I think he was wasn't he the bad guy in that,
he should do more horror movies.
They're probably good. I bet you they got too physically taxing for him. Did you ever see Hunt for the Wilder People with him in it?
No.
Hunt for the Wilder People?
Okay.
We'll add that.
Yeah, okay.
We'll watch that one later. Because it's a Taika Waititi movie.
Oh, okay. Nice.
We ask a question each week, though.
Oh, Corey Feldman! Who would I want him to be? I would want him to be... You know what? I want him to be, and it's this role's beneath him, but I mean, if we're gonna get him in the movie, somehow or another, I want him to be the homeless man with the axe.
First off.
Oh no! You know what? First off, I want him to be the boy.
First off.
The boy at the bookstore that's like hunting them, like watching them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, there's so many fucking creepy parts about that movie. Yeah, the fucking like everyone watching him, and then like. The part that, like, now looking at it, I'm like, that doesn't really make sense, is when he, like, draws the map to Hobbs, or whatever, New Hobbs, or whatever that town was, where he's just ripping up covers, and he, like, makes himself a bullshit map, like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Like, they could have done that better.
Yeah, it was just meh.
What did you think of it? Did you like it? Did you?
I
figured you would like it because it has a noir vibe, but it's kind of just creepy.
It's noir and it's creepy and it's and I think it's, you know, the Lovecraft thing. I'm always kind of like, eh, because yeah. I don't. And I know I need to read it judge, but like the vibe, dude, like especially when you find all that shit, you're like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah, but the Lovecraftian like ancient evil, I think works so much better in Event Horizon than anything else. Which I love that movie. I remember seeing that movie in the movie theaters with my cousin, and fucking being terrified. Terrified. My cousin was crying. because it was too intense for him. Mm-hmm. And then like so like we're like, okay, cool, no more horror movies. And then a week maybe like a year later or so, Fire in the Sky came out.
Oh fuck. And then let's go see Fire in the Sky.
No, he saw it on his own. But then he called my mom begging for me to come spend the night with him. And so we're there. But I love UFOs. I've always loved UFOs.
Yeah.
So we're talking about UFOs. I'm getting all into it, which is making it so much worse. So he just like ends up like ditching me in his fucking living room while he goes to sleep on the floor of his parents' bedroom. Nice. Like, oh, you motherfuckers. But yeah. Who'd you substitute Corey for?
Yeah, I guess the axe guy.
How about the dad? Johnny boy!
And then he just moonwalks out.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing is just like great. The one thing that was like, I was watching this time around too, that I was like, oh, okay, like, they should explain it more, is how terrified Linda was, right? Because she was freaking the fuck out. And then once she gets to the fucking, like, church, she's like, all like, oh, like under his spell or whatever. Like, they should have
kind of
put a scene in there to show her being like,
yeah, you know, because
that just seemed, you know, it seems so offbeat. There's sad.
Yeah, I would have been okay with adding a couple more minutes for that.
Yeah,
because it's a good 96 minutes, I think.
Right, because that felt weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just such a like, okay, cool. And then like,
but then it doesn't make sense either, because like, how are you taking control of somebody that's not real?
Yeah, well, because he wrote everything. He wrote him being there, and he told him, you're taking the script back, this manuscript. And he goes, the fuck I am, bitch. I ain't doing jack shit for you. And then, like, he shows him, like, the terror behind, like, the veil. And he's like, oh, fuck. And then, like, how she footballs him, the manuscript, and he runs out. But then he's like, oh, like, I have no idea. I never gave you that manuscript. And, like, Linda, he goes, dude, you gave it to me months ago. I'm like, what? Dude, yeah. They were just gaslighting him like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then when he walks out and he's the last person, the evil sweeps through the world, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, he's, like, the last one alive and he's walking in and he sees the movie of him in it starring him. Spooky. Ooh, I had chills.
It's cold in your house.
It is cold in here.
Have you watched that 90s show yet?
No, which it threw me for a loop, because I remember there was the
80s.
The 80s show. Then there was a 90s show.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, there was a 90s show. It wasn't with that cast. It was a different cast, and it was like a show that they were trying to be like the 70s show. Or was it the 80s show?
It was the 80s show.
But it had nothing to do with that original cast, right? It was just like...
Okay. It was just the 80s show.
Okay. But no, I haven't seen it. I thought it was just like a weird, like, I thought I was watching clips of the final season. I'm like, I don't know what this is.
It's okay.
Yeah.
They do a good job of a couple things. They don't have an equivalent for everybody. Like, they do, but they're really good at hiding of who's the equivalent for who.
Uh-huh.
There's some really funny shit. There's some, like, where everybody ends up is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hyde's not in it. No.
I wonder why. That's weird. He's my favorite character.
Is he?
No.
So?
I was going to say, sorry to cut you off right there, because I want to talk to you about this. The Last of Us?
I watched the first episode, but here's my beef with it. Okay, there's a couple things. I don't like the writer of that show.
Okay.
Who's
the writer?
Craig Mazin.
Okay.
I'm just okay with him. I don't like his stuff. But the show, here's my beef, is like, I've played through that fucking game.
Yeah. So
do they change? I know they change it up, but yeah. I'm just like.
So the first part of the movie or the show
is
the game.
Game. Yeah.
It's like the little prequel beforehand, and I do like how they literally it's the exact same opening. Getting the
they car, did a good job. No, I'll give you that. They give you really that. Nice. That was good.
Episode 2, the opening scene before the title. Fuck, beautiful. Beautiful. Oh my god, the acting in it was amazing. Amazing.
Okay.
Like, it's like, if you're not going to watch the show, just watch that opening segment.
Because like, it's actors, one of those I'm going to get to it.
They're Filipino actors. One's a doctor, and a scientist, and the other one's like a general. And they're like, okay, this is what it is, and they're explaining what's going on. And you see the fear in that woman, it's so sad, but so good.
So what's going to happen is that each opening of the show is going to be how the disease...
No, I don't think so, because...
Why
when
not?
When you see...
Because the first episode was that whole part about them talking in the 60s about this disease coming over.
And then
when's that second part thing take place?
It takes place right before things are happening, and people are whatever, and then, like, I don't want to say anything about that scene because I like it.
Yeah.
But, like, you should watch it. But then you do see the zombies... just fucking booking it. Like,
I've seen,
and you're like, holy shit.
I mean, they did a pretty good job in that. That whole part in the house with the, where she's watching the old lady.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was some good shit. Yeah. I like that.
Especially when she's twitching in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was good.
This one reminded me of a lot of, the second episode reminded me of that, Strain. With the tentacles coming out. It's
the Del Toro show, right?
Yeah,
but those are vampires, weren't they?
Yeah, those are vampires. But yeah, this one is I don't know whether I like it or I don't. But that scene in episode 2, that blew me away. That was amazing.
I listened to the book, The Midnight Club. I didn't watch the show.
Okay.
It's a Christopher Pike book, like one of the Fear Street guys. So the show. Looks like they have a whole.
I've never heard about the show.
The show is like produced by Mike Flanagan, who does all your shit. Who might be doing? Did you hear what he might be doing?
No.
Oh, you don't know?
No.
He's working on Gunslinger for Amazon.
Oh, what? That's right. See, Booger got excited.
I know.
I was thinking about restarting the book again because I need to go back. I want to read Fairy Tale. I bought it, so now that's.
You haven't read it yet?
I haven't read it.
Oh, that's my. Fuck.
I'm going to read it now.
So good.
Yeah. So I'll probably.
It does not lead to Ka. Okay, I'm letting you know.
But I heard it's an amazing book on its own.
So oh, dude, it is one of the. It was so good. One of the better Stephen. The other one you should read from Stephen King, and it's a crime book. Uh-huh. Is called Later.
Later. Let me write that down.
Because he'll do crime books every once in a while. Well, not like Mr. Jim Mercedes crimes books, like he does those.
Uh-huh.
But he'll do, like, Hard Case that still makes all the, like, the dime store novels.
Yeah.
Like, they still make stories in that style.
Yeah.
Put it down Later and Joyland. Colorado Kid is okay. It wasn't my favorite of those books. I mean, I need to give it another listen. But Joyland... Later was my favorite of those three. Joyland was my second. But every once in a while, like, he writes crime. It's like, it's a full-on, it feels like crime novel with the shine.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He's got, like I said, he kind of jumps on the shine a lot, but I don't, if it works, it works. Yeah. And in the story, it's a really interesting way to use the shine if he's using if you consider using the shine.
Yeah. Nice. Anything else?
I know you got something else. Hold on. Okay. So I started this book. I'm about a couple hours into it.
Okay.
Called The Man Who Invented Motion Pictures.
Okay.
So it starts off talking about this French guy who was developing a thing, and then he talks about how Thomas Edison was developing this thing.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I do know that guy.
So you know the story about this?
Yeah, how he created it first, and then he has physical proof that he created it first.
And then what happens to him?
Edison or somebody else comes over and, like, borrows a camera or steals a camera?
No. Motherfucker goes on vacation. Like, he works on his shit for a bit, the French guy does.
Yeah.
Goes on vacation, goes on a train, you know, it's the 1800s, 1900s, it's so hard to get a hold of everybody. He goes on a train, he disappears. His family in England or France, wherever the fuck he was, gets into his train, and then he's supposed to go, like, meet people in America or, like, in England or something, and he's not there, and his friends, and they get back word to the... So then the wife is like, oh, that son of a bitch, Thomas Edison, killed my husband or kidnapped him or both. And I'm like, yes. So hey, if you want to hook a story, it was just that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No, that's dope.
So it's called, yeah, Man Who Invented Motion Pictures.
Okay.
And that's what I'm listening to right now. I also started... I was listening to the Dana Gould Hour today, and he was talking to Gerald from Devo.
Okay.
That was an interesting interview.
What was it? I started... my show that I was all about was that Spanish YouTube show where the woman like goes through the phones and like catches all these cheaters. Do you want to talk about... Did I talk to you about this?
No, you did not.
Okay, so my favorite show, it's translated means exposing cheaters.
So it's cheaters.
So basically, it's this girl. It's
cheaters.
But
do you know what cheaters is?
Yeah. Okay. But the girl on the show, the host, so hot, so hot.
Oh, this
so
was better hot. Than this was better than watching that and old so, flabby man be like, "Oh, I got a camera in your face."
Oh, dude, this girl's so hot. And then so I follow her on Instagram. She's amazing. And what she does is she goes up to couples on the street. She's got, like, a camera person behind her and, like, an assistant, and it's just her with a microphone. And she goes, hey, like, hey, blah, 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 you guys are so cute. How long have you been together? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, cool. That's
it. Is this real sex? Because I don't want to do this.
Dude. And then she goes, she's really good about it. Yeah, I know, right? And then, what is that Dave Chappelle was? Like, oh, gang bang over here. Like,
yeah, that's right. I got one more other thing to tell you about where I went last night.
Oh, yeah. Let me get to this. We'll get to that because I want to talk about that. So the girl goes like, how long have you been together? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, so you guys faithful? You're faithful to each other, right? Right? And the girl's like, yeah, we're super faithful. And she goes, cool. It's like, so I'm offering money to go through your phone. So I'll give you like 500, you know, whatever to like just check your phone. I'm just going to like, we'll just check photos. We'll check your photos. And then we'll text messages and then one other thing, like Instagram or whatever you have. And then they're like, oh, like, and the guys are usually, no, fuck off, lady. Like, and then the girl's like, no, I have nothing to hide, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I mean, people are caught cheating. It is both ways. It is, like.
Yeah.
And then, so the girls, she'll go through, like, pictures and, like, oh, whose wiener is this or who's that? And I'm like, oh, that's his. And they kind of laugh about it. And she's like, oh, my God. And she'll make jokes. And then you can see people, whatever. But, like, the people that are cheating also get so pissed off that the girl is potentially cheating or the guy is potentially cheating. It's like, what the fuck is this? He goes, well, it's nothing. And they'll, like, kind of brush it off or they're like, we'll talk about it later. It's not a big deal. And then, like, but then she'll go through messages. And the bitch is so good at finding shit that it blew my mind. Like, she'll go to, like, messages, she'll go to search, and she'll put, like, eggplant emoji or devil eyes or kissy faces, and she'll just pull up all these random texts like, so who'd you say this to, blah blah blah, and she'll just start reading shit and people will panic and reach for the phone and she goes, get the fuck away from me. She's so good with the microphone in like her hand and the phone in the other and just reading shit out loud and just putting shit on blast, and then it's like, what the fuck, and then they start fighting, it's a big old thing, it's like, oh, and like they get done, it's like, and then they're like, we're done, and the guy or the girl, whoever's like the one that's all upset, he goes, no, it's your turn. Give us your phone. And they're like, no, we're done. You already ruined the relationship. And the other couple's like, oh, the fuck we are. That's even Skevens. And they give her the phone and they'll go through it and they'll find a bunch of other shit. And then at the end of it, she goes, oh, like, honey, you forgot your phone. Oh, here's your $500, you slut. And just in their face. But one of them, like, blew my mind because it was two dudes. She goes into this cafe and there's two dudes together. It's like, oh, are you guys a couple? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're a couple. It's like, oh, great. How long have you been together? Like, 18 months. And they're like, oh, that's so great. And they're, like, talking about phones. And the guy goes, I am late for school. We're about to leave. We don't have actually time for this. You know, I apologize, but no. But then she's talking to the friendly gay guy. And he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I want a picture. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll get you a picture, but let's do the game first. And then so I just go through the phone. The guy's getting all upset. Like, you know, it's like, well, you just talk to everybody that sends you messages? He's like, I'm just being polite.
And yeah, then, but then, first off, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah, right. And then so all this jealousy's going through the roof.
So far.
Yeah. So they go through his phones, and there's nothing to be said, but he does respond to random people that send him messages. He's like, hey, handsome. He goes, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, so whatever. the guy was like, okay, well, I'm late, so we're done. Give him his money. We're about to leave. Bye. And he's like, no. And the guy's like, no, it's your turn now. Let's do this. He goes, no. So they're going through his phone. They're finding pictures of girls with tits. And he goes, oh, I thought you were gay.
Whoa. And girls with tits?
Yeah. He's like, I thought you were gay. He goes, oh, no, it's just like, you know, it's just I'm in a group message. And, like, they just save onto the phone, which some apps do that, like the WhatsApp does it. And so he's like, okay, well, whatever. So going back and forth. Then they go to the text messages, and then it's these conversations about, like, you know, it's like, who you want to invite to the wedding, da-da-da-da-da, this and that and the other. And you're like, well, what the fuck is this? What wedding is this? What wedding is that? Like, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, then the she reads these messages, and it gets so fucked up. It's like, well, tell your shitty faggot that he's welcome to show up to the wedding, because that'll be the last time he'll see you, and da-da-da-da-da. And then they're like, and the guy's like, what wedding? Da-da-da. And he goes, turns out...
What faggot? Sorry.
Yeah.
And then, what faggot?
Yeah, and then it was like, they're like, the wedding's... Like, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, when's the wedding? When's the fucking wedding? The guy's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously you're going to a wedding and all our friends are talking about it and they know that I don't know. So what fucking wedding is this? He goes, it's my wedding. He goes, when are you getting married? He goes, Saturday. And I was like, what the fuck? And so they just turned into this big old thing. And then, like, this guy just turns into, like... Like, this dude, this, it's all in Spanish, and this, he goes, when are you gonna go to the ball, so fucking tell me, when, and then he just fucking grabs him, you're like, fuck yeah, I hate him, the show's just out of control, it's amazing, I love it so much, but I got caught up to all the episodes, and so, like, fuck, so I stopped watching it for a long time, and then today at work, I was like,
I've watched this, like, 6 months!
What was that show? So I've been watching that show like crazy. What concert did you go to last night?
I saw a little band called Max Sabbath.
Ah, oh, dude, I'm so jealous. I was literally still at work when you texted me.
You should have gone.
How was it?
It was good.
Where did they play?
At the Observatory.
Oh, okay, yeah. I could have probably made it.
What time did you get there?
I left around almost 8.
At least
you called me like around 7.
You probably got minutes over there.
Yeah, damn, that sucks. But.
They come out.
Any opening bands or just...
Oh, yeah, opening band was Toys That Kill, which, if you remember FYP,
Yeah.
It's the singer from that band, it's his band after FYP.
Oh, okay.
They were good, I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
I never really heard them that much. And then, it was, 45 Grave.
Okay.
Who I never seen before.
I've heard two of them.
They were okay.
Yeah.
You know what it is that I'm not. I went through that phase and I like the Misfits.
Yeah.
And we're good.
Yeah. No, I get you.
Yeah, I went through my metal-y phase and I got my bands.
Yeah.
So we're good.
I have a new metal band that I love.
What's that?
We'll talk about.
Is it Max Sabbath? Because it should be.
No.
So they come out. There is the Grimace. He is Grimellis.
How about the costumes? Because when I looked at pictures, some of them look like updated, and some of them look kind of shitty.
So Grimellis. Okay. Sometimes they call him. Because I was looking at the Wikipedia. Sometimes they call him. I can't believe it's not Butler.
Do you know what the Grimace is supposed to be?
What's the Grimace supposed to be, Jimmy?
Oh, you don't know this?
A butt plug.
No, he's supposed to be a taste bud.
And you Grimace because of the taste bud.
No, I don't know. Like, but I googled it because I wanted to know. Somebody brought it up at work, and I'm like, oh, what is he supposed to be? Because of Fry Kids or whatever. But yeah, Grimace is supposed to be.
They had a little Fry Kid come out.
Yeah. Did they really?
And they had a Mac tonight.
Ah!
Well, here's what they do. So okay.
Did he have the whole?
He did, but he's got a skull, and it's Mac tomorrow.
That's dope.
And what happens is he comes out and starts playing his piano, and the drummer. Who is the cat burglar, because he is dressed like Peter Criss.
Okay.
He's the Hamburglar with Peter Criss makeup on. Comes out and sings Bread instead of Beth.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a guitar player who I'm sure you've seen has the big hamburger head and the horns coming out of his
made
face.
Of McCheese?
No, Slayer McCheese.
Dope.
And then there's Ronnie Osborne.
Okay.
And he comes out wearing the straight jacket like Ozzy would wear.
Okay.
First off, his Ozzy is fucking great.
Dude, was the show like stellar? Was it like a?
Dude, it is performance art in the best way possible.
Dude, that's rad. That's so cool.
And it's so good. Like, I don't even want to tell you about it because I'm going to make your ass fucking go. Yeah. Next time they come around.
Yeah.
They're not going to be back for a bit, but, like, next time they fucking play, like, we're going to fucking go.
Yeah, I'm whatever it is, I'm dropping everything to go. I was bummed when you called me. I'm like, fuck.
You should have just gone.
I should have just gone.
Fucking credit cards.
Yeah, dude.
And so, yeah, it was probably the best thing. I got the kids' shirts that say Max Sabbath, and then it's Slayer McCheese, and it looks like the Motorhead shirt. So it says Max Sabbath and, like, Motorhead writing. And then instead of being, like, is that supposed to be, like, a bull on the Motorhead one? I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to be. I don't know what the fuck it's supposed to be. But it's Slayer McCheese. And then Max Sabbath is from Birmingham Burger.
Nice.
So, yeah. Max Sabbath was amazing.
So and it's
And I can't wait
for Weird Al kind of cover band.
Not even Weird Al, dude, because, like...
Because Weird Al, like, will take parodies of
songs. I know. He guys, Ozzy is spot on.
Oh, that's
so
dope.
He comes out in the straitjacket, and then he comes out with his Ronald McDonald suit, but it's got the things on him.
The webbing
or whatever you'd call it, yeah. I guess. The streamers coming from his arms, I guess. And,
The Macho Man sleeves?
Yeah. It doesn't have Macho Man sleeves. But fuck, dude.
Yeah.
So good. And so we go, and our friend dressed up.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they took a picture of her.
Okay.
And
I have pictures?
I've been describing the picture as, and you remember that part in Monsters, Inc.? I'm in the register today, but, like, I'm in the register like Mike Wazowski is in that Monsters, Inc. commercial.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm in it, but I'm not in it.
Oh, dude. That's rad. That is amazing.
And then
I like the fry hat that she has.
And then there's my fat head behind her. Yeah,
that's dope. Dude, but it made the OC register.
I did. Like I said, I made the OC register. That's true. Like I said, just like Mike Wazowski.
Send me that.
Just like Mike Wazowski.
That's rad.
Hey, Jimmy.
So, next week, we're going to watch a little movie called Visitor Q.
Okay.
It's a visitor just comes and visits a disturbed family. Next week.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for the episode this week. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at our Instagram
at yhblankthat.
Or you can email us at yhblankthat@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.